The following podcast contains spoiler material. Listener discretion is advised.
What's going on, everyone? This is John M. Chu, the director of G.I. Joe Retaliation. You're listening to What's on Joe Mind, and check out the movie, have fun, and yo, Joe.
Brother Block, as always, do you mind leading us in a few words, please, sir?
In the immortal words of Jay-Z. Whatever deity may guide my life, dear Lord, don't let me die tonight. But if I shall before I wake, I'd accept my fate. Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah.
And welcome to this very quick and dirty special edition of What's on Joe Mind. We are a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. As always, I'm Gary, and joining me for this particular quick and dirty special edition is Justin. Justin, how are you?
I'm good, Gary. How are you doing?
I am excited.
Me too. It's a very special edition. Oh, I'm excited.
It's that time. It's finally here. The movie's here.
It is.
And we actually have a very, very awesome opportunity to talk to one of the first men on the planet who's not either in Korea or Australia to see the movie. And then his friend of the show, Dave Tree, who actually saw 10 minutes, seemed like about a year ago, of preview footage and reported on it. Well, now he's actually going to report on the full film itself. Owner of all the cool stuff, promoter of Roll Out Roll Call 4, good friend of the program, Dave Tree. Dave, thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Doing good, Dave. Besides being insanely jealous of you, but...
Jealous. I hate you. Excited. I can't wait for you to get into this.
Well, all I can say is off right from the bat that Coil Con has got a super guest for it in the form of Todd Jordan, where this was like his big film debut. So...
Stole the show.
Oh, I can't say any more than that. It's huge. It's huge. You heard it first. Here first. It's Core Coin. Convention of the future.
That's a convention and conventioneering.
Okay, that's one more related guest CoilCon has and JoeCon has, I bet. So.
Oh.
They got me.
Okay. Let's get into this thing right away. Everyone is listening to this. This is full on in your face spoilers. Dave's holding nothing back. You've been warned before you listen to this. This is all about spoilers, just like when we had them on last time. So, Dave, unless Justin has any questions to kind of lead into this thing, I'm all for you just taking over right now and telling me all about G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yeah, I'd say just jump on in and start her up.
Oh, Retaliation. I thought this was Transformers 4.
That is Mike.
No, G.I. Joe Retaliation. I had the awesome opportunity, been doing quite a little bit of work with Paramount UK over the last year through Roll Out Roll Call. And we were afforded the opportunity to go see a preview earlier today. And one of the first things I want to sort of mention is Paramount were stressing that what we were exposed to wasn't actually the final cut or final edit, perhaps, of the film. They were saying that it's not in a state for review purposes. And that's largely because all of this is happening ahead of the US release. And when asked about what differences are we potentially looking at here, they weren't exactly sure. So bearing in mind, first of all, this is the ramblings of one Englishman at 1 o'clock in the morning, his side, still giddy, and that it's perhaps not the final edit of the whole film, that some things might not marry up and things like that. So we'll go
Big
through.
Rob really isn't in the final version. He was just in this cut.
It killed me. But like, but the rest of the gang are there. Chuckles as well, but like, but yeah, from the word go, you are exposed into a sort of a James Bond scenario, that at the start of every James Bond, you are almost coming in at the end of the last film. It's like the end of a mission. And it was very much the same within Retaliation. The Joes were what looked like in Korea, and it was Flint, Roblox, Lady J, Mouse, and Duke. And they were literally just sort of breaking into like this airfield. Lady J and Mouse were like hanging back for like the eyes and ears, and the other guys were at the fence. And this is where you see Roadblock with those kind of hand gauntlet things where he's going through the wire, and they break in, and Flint has got to be effectively covering their escape at the wire whilst Roadblock and Duke go in to try and find who their contact or whatever. And this is quite an interesting scene because it's almost a little bit of scene setting over who's responsible for who. You realizing that Lady J, she's like very much intelligent, so she's like telling everybody what's going on. Agent Mouse is a sniper, so he's effectively watching the guard tower and things like that. Roadblock and Duke are going in and they're telling Flint to stay put, but Flint is straight away, his characteristic is that he's not necessarily disrespecting the chain of command and authority, but he's very much pulling rank and doing what he thinks is right, which might not be the same Flint that we all know and recognize through like the comics and cartoons and things like that. But it was quite a nice little scene to sort of give everybody's like what they are like in terms of that person. They liberate this chap from the Jeep spy or whoever. He doesn't seem to like have any kind of connection, because like I said, you're coming in at the end of a mission and Flint's like disappeared. So Duke or Roadblock said to Mouse, if you can see him, just shoot him because he's in danger of messing up the operation again, kind of thing is the impression you're given. But as you leave, you realize that what Flint's actually done in the guard tower is take down the flag that was flying and actually put up the Joe's Eagle Hawk style flag hanging up, and then it like launches into the titles for the film, which again, this was certainly not what I was expecting in terms of how that was handled. It was very much like done in a cartoony comic kind of way, and I'm not 100% sure, but it sounded like that they actually got Dennis Quaid's voice, or at least someone to sound like him, who was given effectively a overall brief update of what happened since the last film. And it effectively informs you that Destro and Cobra Commander are in incarceration and they're in a secret underground prison in Germany, whilst the rest of the Joes, who are led by Duke, are on high alert because Storm Shadow and Zartan are still very much at large. Duke's team comprises of Roadblock, Lady J, Flint, and so on and so forth. And this is done with like computer graphics, with the globe sort of pinpointing where people are and where the Joes are sort of deployed, and then like the files of each person sort of coming up. And that was a bit of a surprise. I wasn't expecting that sort of thing to come around. And it then goes from there into looking at the political situation in Pakistan. The president has been killed and there's a whole bunch of potential destabling in the country, and it's felt that their nuclear warheads could fall into the wrong hands. So the president decides to deploy the Joes, or Zartan decides to deploy the Joes, much against the council in the White House was split down the middle. The military want to go in, and like his advisors are saying, no, wait and see what pans out before making any rash decisions, intervening in another country's affairs. And as this is all going on, you see a bit of downtime with Duke and Roadblock. They're at Roadblock's house, and you can see this whole, it's very much scene setting for the two guys in terms of that they are close beyond the workplace. They have a strong tie, and Duke has a strong tie with Roadblock's family. You get to see his two little girls. But they are deployed out into Pakistan, and this is tying up with bits in what you see in like the trailers and stuff like that. This is when you see all like the howlers flying at night, or the Ghost Hawk 2s or whatever it's supposed to be now, but there's like tons of them. And effectively it's the whole of the G.I. Joe team going in there to extract like these nuclear missiles, which have been commandeered by a party who's not from the government. So the storming facility, and again you are then getting to see certain characteristics of some of these characters. So again, like Mouse, he's very much an inexperienced, he's a rookie, and like he's never done like a combat drop before, but he's been given an updated sniper rifle that effectively allows you to see the sight of the bullet that you're taking and then help guide the bullet. And Lady J's got one of these, but Flint hasn't, because they don't deem him he's got the skills enough. But sure enough, when he's on the ground, Flint is actually kicking ass big time. Nice. Now this is one of the biggest surprises for me for the film, because again, I guess it's a product of the marketing and who's going to sell the film more than anybody else. You got to be completely open and honest. The Rock is going to do that. So a lot of the things that you see are very much orientated around either Rock or Bruce Willis. But as Flint, the guy did, is DJ, is it Cortana?
Catrona.
Catrona, that's it.
Yep.
He's very physical in this, and he's like doing like literally like vaults over various different bits of hardware and close up hand to hand combat. And it's like, I wasn't expecting any of that.
Yeah.
I just got the vibe from everything that we'd seen is that he's kind of like a just another gunman, a secondary character, but he was very integral. And again, he's like breaking rank in terms of what he was doing there because he felt he had to need to go in and save friends where they're in a tight spot and things like that. But this is relating back to the trailer. This is when you've seen all the Joes rappelling down like lines, mm-hmm. you know, along like a missile silo. They manage to secure the warheads and they extract them with minimal Joe casualties, and they report back to the White House, where you can see them saying where they're going, and Zartan's like, as the president is like there and listening to this, and he then leaves, and this is in the president's retreat, and he goes down into this bunker where he then sees and meets with the real president and explains to them that what he's going to do is terminate the Joes and install effectively Cobra. And the president is like saying to him that this is all wrong, you're not gonna be able to get away with any of this. And Zartan is like taunting him, saying that, you know, well, since he's taken over from him, he's become more popular. And he makes an interesting quip, and again, difficult to say someone who's really shining in this film now outside of like what we've been sort of exposed to so far. Jonathan Pryce does a superb job all through this as Zartan and the president. And he makes an interesting point of the people of America voted and they wanted someone who looks like you, but actually wants a person who acts like me. Effectively saying,
you want the rich white guy, but you want him to... Yeah,
you want to be going in and doing decisive things and that aren't necessarily politically popular, but in terms of the people's opinion, it is the right thing to do. And he does the whole knife scene across the face. And what was really cool is that, again, what you saw on trailers was only like so far. It's actually much more detailed in the final thing. And it kind of almost goes all the way through to like Arnold Vosloo's face before sort of reverting back. And he said, the only reason that we've got you still alive is we want to know where you've got Cobra Commander hidden. And it goes into this, what suggests is he's going to be effectively tortured because he's got a whole series of stuff on a table laid out that he's going to start really hurting to like try and reveal what's going on, and that he's going to enjoy it. So very, very much elements of the Zartan character that we know, that he's pretty nasty piece of work.
Hey, Dave, is this one of the scenes that was in the 10-minute? I seem to remember that line, I'm more popular than you.
Yeah, I seem to remember that too.
Type thing, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the 10-minute bits, but certainly, I mean, what was difficult within the 10-minute bit was you were being shown...
rapid fire.
Yeah, and you didn't know where it was in terms of the continuity of things and how it relates to the rest of the film. His security guards all got like little tiny gold Cobra sigils. Maybe they're like Crimson Guardsmen because they're just there in plain clothes, but they're like the security team. So it then goes from there and back to Pakistan, where the Joes all hold up, and Roadblock and Duke are expanding on the whole buddy thing. And this is when the security detail turns up and effectively just like blow the heck up out of everything. And the Joes are trying to return fire, but they just don't have a call to arms quick enough to be able to like go up against these things, and one by one you're seeing people being picked off, and Flint gets caught out in the open, and Duke runs over to effectively help him up on his feet because he's like shell-shocked, he's stunned, he doesn't know what quite going on. And as Duke runs over and like pushes him clear, a rocket comes in to the vehicle that they were holding behind to like remain from cover, and effectively just blows up. So straight away suggesting that Duke has been wiped out as a result of this blast, because all the others saw it and they're just like, no.
Okay, so what was the audience reaction at that then?
Dave stood up and cheered.
well, from what I could tell within the audience and the company I was keeping, there was only one other sort of Joe fan there. I mean, everybody else was either like a journalist or someone of immense standing within the world of journalism. And I saw it with a Joe fan, and we were pretty much the only people talking about it before the event and then after the event. So it's a tricky one to call, really, what anybody else thought.
Okay, so what did you guys think?
I'll be honest. I mean, everybody's very much got an opinion when it comes to like Channing Tatum and things like that. And I think what really doesn't help the guy is off screen, his attitude to G.I. Joe very much taints how he is within the film. For what he did up to this point, I thought he was pretty cool. Being fair to the guy, he was delivering. He was doing a lot of action scenes. He wasn't being over the top or smarmy or I'm the boss man here. He seemed to be level pegging with Roadblock, although he outranked him. But they were working in jokes with him and Roadblock up to this point. All the humor was revolved around those two more than anything else. And yeah, okay, he died, maybe for the better, maybe for the worse, but I don't think there's anything negative about what Channing Tatum did up to this point. I just think that because of the way he comes across outside of the film and when asked in interviews and things like that, I just think that totally is what sways people's opinions about him.
Yeah, he was putting up mildly a bit douchey over G.I. Joe.
Yeah, no, and this
he's a bit douchey in general, I think. I mean, that's kind of the impression. He's kind of like a frat boy who's, no offense, Gary, I know you're a frat boy as well, but
I was one of the good ones.
But I think you know what I'm talking. I mean, like, he's too cool for school and just
take it or leave it kind of thing. And you probably can't, because really you want to be in everything you can get your hands on, but
right.
Yeah, I can't say that it was any worse for having him in there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, say that. I have another question for the end after the final plot is sealed up, so continue.
They all end up down the well, Jay, Flint, and Roadblock, and the helicopters land, and it's quite an expanded scene, on again, from what we've seen, that they know that they've landed because they can hear them, but they're not like talking, and they're being very, very careful about their movements within the water because they don't want to cause any ripples. So they all know that they've got to like sink, so they're like literally there, and they're looking up for like the torch beams to like come over, and then that's when they go down very, very slowly. So suggests that this water still had not been disturbed, and the guy's looking in, they don't see anything, and then one decides to fire off a few rounds in there just to make sure, and then that's it. And it cuts back to the president addressing the nation.
Is this Todd Jordan's Emmy winning scene right here?
It's huge.
Best supporting actor.
Oh, it's pretty cool. And effectively, how he's managed to do all of this is because you don't know where Snake Eyes is at this point. And sorry, I should have mentioned earlier, they said if Snake Eyes is not here, there's got to be a good reason why he's not here. And effectively, what you're being told by the president to the nation is it was Zartan that assassinated the Pakistani prime minister.
Hmm.
And as a result of that, it's a plot that the G.I. Joes had engineered, create international disturbance and seize arms. So as a result of that, he's had made the decision that America cannot be responsible for these guys' actions and terminated them with extreme force. And as a result, a new one will be coming in, which is a new security team detail of like Cobra. Snake Eyes has been apprehended and will be incarcerated. And then it cuts to the prison facility in Germany. And sure enough, the guys have got Snake Eyes caught and they're marching him into the facility. And it's explained that this facility is deep underground, so far underground that it actually is no longer on German soil, it's international soil, in which case the guys can do whatever they like.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
So you got 2 miles out to sea and 2 miles down. Awesome.
Yeah. Which, when you think about drilling rights and things like that, that means you could probably do whatever you want.
Yeah, no kidding.
You think of how many conflicts that's caused.
That's a convenient plot device right there.
Yeah.
There's one of them.
Gary the Polysci major is not a big fan of that whole thing.
As they lead down, you are brought into like this chamber and you've got Destro and Cobra Commander, and they are in these, they look like spacemen's suits, outfits in a tube. And effectively, when you are submerged in this stuff, your body shuts down. Your mind is still awake and your eyes, you see and hear everything, but your body just tells you you can't move. So you are effectively trapped in your own body. And the guy's introducing him to them all and saying that he's making a joke that his prison is like his fantasy football in terms of the people that he's got there.
This is the warden, right?
Yeah, the warden.
So this is one of the named actors that we all know about from Justified.
Walt Goggins, yeah. Yep.
He says, always been curious what's under the mask. And Snake Eyes speaks back and says, you have no idea. And then you kind of like, so the great Snake Eyes can actually speak. So the guards take off his mask, and it's Storm Shadow. And the guy knows, he goes, you're not Snake Eyes. But nonetheless, welcome to hell. So they stick Storm Shadow in. He goes off, and I guess to his initial reaction is like, we got the wrong guy. But maybe he's like, okay, you were actually the one that killed the Pakistani Prime Minister. So they stick Storm Shadow in, and Storm Shadow slows his heartbeat down and goes into cardiac arrest. And the medical team come in to like extract him out from the tube.
The Arashikagi mindset.
Yeah, and he just leaps into action and he's pulling people into the tubes to like drown them. The guards come in, they're trying to like shoot the tubes, and the Storm Shadow puts like the doctor in front of the bullets and smashes the tube, and then he's out. The warden had previously put his swords to one side, which, again, is a convenient plot element that if you've been captured, probably one of the first things you're going to be done is take away any, like, weapons. You're not going to have
the weapons right in the jail cell area with them just in case they manage. Yeah.
Well, not just that.
That's convenient plot point again.
It's not like that at any point when you're taking this guy from, like, Pakistan to, like, Germany that you've taken away his weapons. or anything like that. But anyway, that's like spoiling the fun. So Storm Shadow leaps into action and he's like killing all the guards and whatnot. And the warden's in there. And this is when you then see Storm Shadow says that line from the trailers, welcome to hell. Yeah. It's actually taunting what the prison warden had originally said to him.
Nice.
But where Storm Shadow was going into cardiac arrest, there are some defibrillator panels there. And in quick thinking, the warden just grabs one of these panels and slams it on the floor because it's soaking wet from all the fluid. And he's like there, like shocking Storm Shadow. So he's able to get out of there and seal that room.
Okay, this was another scene that you saw from the 10-minute
preview.
That's
right, yeah.
Is any of this different or is it pretty much the same?
Now, here's the thing. There is one thing that is slightly different, which I'll get to in a second.
Okay,
be patient.
Storm Shadow frees Cobra Commander, and it's a cool sequence. Like, the thing comes out, and you see Cobra Commander's face is all scarred. He's got no ears. It's just like a socket, and he's like, they're scrabbling for air, and he puts on, like, a mask similar to, like, Vader, so he can breathe again. And now this is the bit that I can't 100% confirm or deny is a change, but it felt like it was edited. In the 10 minutes, I'm sure Cobra Commander addresses Destro and says, Destro, you are no longer part of the team or in the game, and he fires into the tube. But again, maybe that was the way it was edited in that 10 minutes, that what you saw was slightly different, and maybe it wasn't what you saw a tube shot at. It wasn't actually Cobra Commander. It was like from earlier where like the guards come in. But it just completely cuts away to the prison warden. So it suggests that they just leave Destro there rather than killing him. Whereas in the 10 minutes, I'm sure it was either he shoots into the tube and kills Destro. Because up to that point, if you kind of think of how the story relates, Destro was the one in charge.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Not so much the Doctor. And so that would make sense in the sense of that Rex or the Doctor or whatever is like assuming control now. You know, he is assuming command, and the way to do this is to eliminate Destro. But it just cuts away to the warden. The warden's like saying, do not let anything that comes out of that room just kill. I don't care. You know, just kill.
So in the 10 minutes, they actually addressed Destro. But in the final cut, there is no mention of Destro whatsoever.
You see him in one of the tubes, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
But there's no mention of him whatsoever.
No, they mentioned Destro, but I'm sure in the 10 minutes, Storm Shadow said something along the lines of, what about Destro? And Cobra Commander said, Destro is no longer part of this or no longer part of the team, and shoots into the tube. Whereas Storm Shadow doesn't say, what about Destro, at least what I saw a few hours ago. And you didn't see him shoot into the tube. But Cobra Commander has got a gun, you see, because Storm Shadow directly hands him it.
Is Firefly part of this rescue, or am I a little bit too early on
that?
Well,
patience, Justin.
It then cuts to the outside, because where the warden's like saying anything that comes in through this door, like, you know, shoot and stuff like that. But Firefly's outside. It's a sequence with the Fireflies. They're flying in, it blows up and kills all the guards. And then the bike splits apart and blows a hole through the prison door. And Firefly's coming down. All you've seen at this point is really the back of Firefly. You've not actually been introduced to the front of Firefly. But where all the prison guys are there, the door opens up behind them, and some like Thunderflash style grenades come in and just blow everybody apart. And then you're seeing Firefly come out as Cobra Commander and Storm Shadow walk out as well, and there's a brief exchange of Firefly and Cobra Commander saying, "It's good to see you, never doubted we'd get you out," and all this sort of thing, while the warden's actually still alive, barely. And because of how deep they are underground, they've got all kinds of like pressure vents and things like that, getting coolants going on to like maintain the temperature within the prison facility. He remarked that earlier when he was bringing Snake Eyes down, and he picks up his gun and he shoots one of these tanks, which then explodes. So the guys run, and what was quite neat is you actually saw it was Cobra Commander that kills the warden. He was like running and boom, just like shot the guy dead as they were like escaping. Storm Shadow is the last person to come out, and this fireball effectively engulfs him just as the doors are closing, and they grab him, and Storm Shadow's like severely burnt all down his back because he's got no top on.
So that sequence, I've heard a lot of people kind of assume they see this explosion that swallows Storm Shadow. They assume that's actually a scene where maybe he's killed in the film, but it sounds like that's not the case.
And as they're in the lift, Cobra Commander says, "Take Storm Shadow to the mountains so to be healed." And as they come out and make their escape, you then see that Snake Eyes is actually in the background observing all of this. He's been observing from afar, so I guess either because he's been trying to track down Storm Shadow or Firefly or whatever. But then he goes back to Japan, and in a high-rise flat, you hear the Blind Master talking that if Storm Shadow is alive, then he must be brought to justice for the sake of the Urashikage, and you will have the help of Jinx, who is the cousin of Storm Shadow, or his niece, I can't remember which, but there's a direct family tie, and her loyalty will not be brought into question. Her loyalties to the Urashikage, not to Storm Shadow. If we are to solve this, then we are to apprehend Storm Shadow. You go find where they've taken him and bring him back to me for judgment. This is the Blind Master saying. The Joes have escaped the well, realize that they've been set up.
Meanwhile.
And then all the guys are dead. Although you do not see a dead Duke or dead anybody, to be fair, bearing in mind that a little bit of time had been spent establishing Mouse as a character, they didn't really kind of go into anything there. But what was interesting is that Flint is saying, "We got to go. We can't stay here." And Roadblock takes offense to that. And there's a bit of friction between the two. And Lady J says, "No, he means that whoever did this is coming back, and we've got to get out of here now." So they trek across the desert, and they can hear something coming in. So they all duck down, and it's a C-130 plane just like flies overhead. And they're at an airfield, and Roadblock says, "We're going home." Now, what I'll come to later, but what I remembered now while it's fresh in the head, a lot of the things that we've seen in the trailers and the TV spots do not appear, at least in the version that I saw. And in a trailer, you do see like a drone flying across. And
yeah,
that's not the case in this, but it is referenced to later on, because it's said that a drone picked up like the voice signatures of three survivors to the president, but you did not see the sequence with the drone flying through the desert.
Hey, Dave, I have another quick question on an earlier scene. You mentioned Firefly and the Fireflies. Yeah. They were used in the prison escape. It looked like in the way that they cut the trailers that the Fireflies were also seen right before the security detail ambushes the Joes. Was that just a trailer thing, or was that something that was established earlier?
No, you're correct, but it was the single Firefly, the one where he's like, "Did you see that?" Because Duke and Roadblock are exchanging like insults with one another, and Duke walks off, and Roadblock walks up to Bug, and he's just like staring at it, and it's making like a sort of metallic transformery noise that you kind of seeing in a lot of like films now, where like Battleship.
We found the rebel base.
And we kind of got that, and he's like staring, and then it flies off, and he's like looking at it as if to say that wasn't a bug, and then that's when the the security details coming in. So that is still there. Up to this point, you don't realise the significance of it until Firefly is like deploying all of his things out of his tube. The Cobra team's assembled, and Cobra Commander's informed that three have escaped. And Firefly said, "Don't worry, come to surface, I'm going to track him down." Zartan appears and says, "Ah, cool mask." And he's kind of like taunting Cobra Commander. And they are effectively overseeing some satellites being made, which are called Zeus. Cobra Commander's like saying, within X amount of hours, Zeus will be operational. And they also hint a nice little nod to the Hiss tanks. "Good to have you back, Commander. We've developed like our new weapon system that we've called high-speed security and a system or whatever." You just like seeing like these big Cobra satellites being assembled, and the warheads, I guess, like being adapted in some form or another, because I'd forgot to mention that they were gone when like the Joes came back. It then cuts to Roadblock and Jay and Flint are back in the States, and they're going through a less than favorable neighborhood where they get approached by a gang who won't let them go any further. And there's an altercation between Roadblock and the gang leader, saying that he's advising for them to turn around and walk away, and Roadblock's like saying, "No, we're just going to carry on walking down this street." And it turns out it's an old friend of Roadblock's, and this is his old neighborhood. So they hole themselves up in what looks like a youth center or like an ex-boxing center or something.
The Abernathy
like.
Gym.
There you go.
There was a concept that had images up of set pictures, and they called it the Abernathy Gym. I don't know if it's really supposed to be tied to General Hawk or not, but that's what it was called.
Roadblock said that he was like a skinny kid and then built himself up in living in a rough neighborhood where he wasn't supposed to live but beyond 13.
There's a Retaliation prequel comic from IDW that tells that whole story of Roadblock kind of getting roughed around as a kid and building himself up and making himself stronger and working out and discovering.
Right.
Playing the role of Stalker is Roadblock.
Yeah, exactly.
He then says the moment that when it came up, he enlisted so he could like carry on and take the fight to the people and all this sort of stuff. And Flint like asks, "Are we safe here? Are the guys going to keep quiet about us?" And Roadblock says, "They're not angels, but they will do. They won't talk." Lady J gets to work on suggesting that maybe the president isn't the president, and she all of a sudden finds through like these disused computers that were there that he's been using different mannerisms. So at such a date, he seemed to say certain tells of like saying kinda and like, and then he then after a certain date changed to saying sorta and things like that, and where he'd have his hands together, his right thumb would be above his left thumb, and then after a date his left thumb would be above his right thumb. So she's like saying, you know, maybe he's not who we think he is. And they said, right, well, we got to get close to find out who he is, and there's only one person who could possibly help us, and that's Joe Colton. Jay says she's going to like rig up the computers to like try and communicate with some of the other Joes to see if there's anybody still out there. So this is one of the few cringeworthy moments. You've got to be honest that this is not going to be perfect. And this is one of the things when you sat there, you're thinking, oh, convenient. She puts out a coded message that somehow only G.I. Joes can pick up to say that they're still alive.
Hey, if Jedis can do it, Joes can do it.
Get this, Joes can do it from an ore striker in the Himalayas.
Sweet.
Because Snake Eyes is driving his Ninja Commando ore striker and picks up the message, and Jinx responds back. And you're thinking, man, they picked that up. So Snake Eyes and Jinx are on their way to the dojo. Now, what wasn't apparent to me is that it doesn't reference that it's the Urashikage dojo. It's just a dojo. And Storm Shadow's inside and he's receiving like herbal remedies, like paste being put on his burnt back and all this kind of stuff.
So it's not nanomites.
Well, you got this old lady, she's like crushing up herbs and whacking it on his back, and there's like joss sticks, and it's all very much in keeping. And then all of a sudden there's like this machinery that goes over his back like a back scanner, and you're thinking, oh right, okay. It's kind of complete difference. So they got like high tech in like this low tech environment.
Is there any mention of how he survived falling into the Arctic water, or is it just kind of assumed?
No,
it's okay.
No, there's no mention. And again, going back to the 10-minute preview, you did kind of see some of this, and it felt like it was suggested that he was rescued and brought back to health first, and then went rescued like Cobra Commander. But like I said, it's the way that they edited that out. You saw that before the prison rescue. Storm Shadow awakes, and he starts putting on his jacket and that, and then he just then hears all these yells and just bodies flying past the window.
All right, we've seen this in probably at least a number of short trailers.
Yeah.
This portion coming up right here. Okay.
I want to interject for a moment just saying how much I love that, because they showed, I think it was in the Storm Shadow character vignette, they actually showed a ninja falling down past the window.
Yeah. And that's how he notices, yeah.
He sticks on his mask and goes out to confront, and then he realizes like Snake Eyes is in the corridor. So,
all right, first question here.
Go for it.
You're watching it in 3D, right?
Like, yeah.
Did it really matter when the stars were thrown? Be honest.
Don't get me wrong, it was cool and things like that, but it wasn't like, but then I've seen it already, and you guys have seen it already, because they've used that sequence
about 1,800 times now
in the trailer. So you're probably not going to see any. It sounds wrong for me to say this, but it's because you kind of see it, you don't necessarily go, you kind of, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are such a movie elitist.
Hardly. So, yeah, they fight, and this spills outside. Meanwhile, Jinx comes through the window of the bit where Storm Shadow is being healed, and the old lady starts kicking off at Jinx, and this old granny with like a bow staff is going in for Jinx, and you're thinking, oh, that's great. And she manages to knock out the old lady. and Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow are at a stalemate. They're just like fighting each other, but then Jinx comes in behind with like a gas mask full of chloroform or something like that, and just puts it over Storm Shadow's mouth, so he passes out. They bag him up, and then this is the point where all the red ninjas are coming onto the bridge on either side. Now, this bit was very cool, because again, it's one of those things that what we were just talking about, that you think you've seen again and again and again. And while there is parts of that, it's very much expanded out, and the whole duel on the cliff is much better. That seemed to pop more in terms of the 3D element, because Storm Shadow's body is just effectively rappelling down the mountain, and they're trying to like get away, and the red ninjas are trying to like get the body bag and stop the guys and all of that, and that's that was very, very cool in the way that that was done, and very well choreographed, if there was choreography in there or if that was completely CG. It was very well done. Effectively, it gets to a point where the red ninjas have got possession of Storm Shadow's body, because it's like landed on the side of the mountain, and Snake Eyes and Jinx go in, dispatch all the ninjas, but then there's ninjas above them, and Snake Eyes effectively pushes Jinx away, so her line, so she swings away much against her protest, and he then gets the flare gun out and shoots and causes the avalanche. Jinx just sees it from afar, and then as like it settles, you then see Snake Eyes swing out holding Storm Shadow's body. So he's managed to escape. It then cuts back to the Arashikage Dojo, and the Blind Master is effectively there judging Storm Shadow, saying that you are the one responsible for the death of the Hard Master. What is your plan? What are you doing now? Effectively, Storm Shadow says, it was not me that killed the Hard Master, although you all think I did. I've been trying to find who the killer was. And this was, again, in terms of a moment as a fan, you understand what's going on, but I'd imagine if we took our respective partners to see it, I know that Chloe would be sat there and she'd be like, I don't get it, because it's not the most effective way of channeling what was supposed to have happened. And effectively, the Blind Master's like going, well, if it wasn't you, who was it? Who stood to gain the most from like the Hard Master's death? And it was the man that took you in after you escaped. And then Storm Shadow's like, yes, and that man was Zartan. could have been a little bit stronger there or better mm-hmm. described.
Yeah, but it still has a lot of comic ties.
Exactly. But that's my point, Gary, in that we know that.
But if you didn't know that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, how the hell?
Yeah, he's the president killed the Hardmaster. How does that all connect?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is actually Arnold Vosloo. And he's got like makeup on to look like an ancient Chinese guy. And they've got the little kids back. For me, that was actually one of the best bits of Rise of Cobra. That whole fight sequence with
those little kids kicking the shit out of each other.
Yeah. And you think, this is so wrong, but it's so cool.
Back at each other with frying pans.
Yeah.
It can't be the same kids, though. I know the kid that played Snake Eyes is on Disney Channel, so he's pretty grown up now. So they just have different kids. You just happen to know how they were because how they were dressed or something.
That's true. I mean, it might not be the same kid as Snake Eyes, but it looked like it was the same kid as Storm Shadow because he was like wearing
the white.
Yeah, it very much looked like him anyway. But you're also then thinking, well, how old is Zartan then? Because he's an adult and Storm Shadow's
like 10. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, but then is that a whole part of Zartan's whole thing that, you know, he was a master disguise? You never quite know how old or who he is.
So another convenient plot point for the unknowing.
It was, because it was like, well, Storm Shadow's just figured it out and realized that he's been led astray and led into this by Zartan. What was Zartan's motive for doing this? It leaves your head scratching if you don't know the prior history.
Even in Rise of Cobra, I mean, Zartan was very much one of McCullen's dudes.
Yeah.
He was more like one of his thugs and less of someone that had a past with Storm Shadow.
Yeah. Having not seen Rise of Cobra for a while, it's one of those things that is a bit like Sixth Sense, in the sense of that those two were never in the room at the same time. I can't honestly remember.
There was a scene, but I believe someone was a hologram.
Yeah. So maybe he did know it was Zartan, but he didn't exactly offer the reason there and then when being judged by the Blind Master, saying, oh, hey, it wasn't me. I've been infiltrating Cobra because I believe Zartan was the killer of the Hardmaster. It kind of sort of like was drawn out in a weird way.
So he didn't say that? You said he didn't mention that at all?
No. What the Blind Master said was, who stood to gain from the Hardmaster's death? And you're thinking, well, who then? We all thought it was Storm Shadow because he'd then inherit, because he then became the leader. But like, no, it's like the person who took you in, and then there's this like new cog in it, and then you realize it's Zartan, and then Storm Shadow realizes it was Zartan.
Oh, okay. So he just realizes it at that.
Yeah. And it's a little confusing and not the strongest it could have been, perhaps. But you can kind of forgive certain things because there's a lot that they've got to cram in. So they say, well, join up with the rest of the Joes and find out what's going on with Cobra Commander. Because Jinx did respond back to Jay's message in the Himalayas that we're trying to get hold of Storm Shadow and we'll be back. The Joes, in the meantime, hook up with Joe Colton, and it's the whole sequence where they're in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little cranky towards them all, saying, what the hell are you guys doing here? I don't want you guys here. Why should I get involved? And Roblox just pours out the dog chips onto the table and says, this is why you want to get involved. And what's significant at this point is where this is like his motivation for joining them, is he picks up one of the dog tabs and he says, Conrad Hauser. So he's got Duke's dog tags there.
Yep.
So if Roblox removed them all from the body, it is, although you didn't see his dead body or anything like that, it says that effectively Duke is out of the picture.
All rise for a very ambiguous moment of silence for an ambiguous death. Can we get an amen?
Yeah. So Joe Colton says that one of the president's chief of staff plays poker every night, and he'd be an easy way to find out how to get to him.
That's convenient.
And what he's moving. Well, you did see him. He was actually the guy that was advising the president not to intervene with Pakistan. You did see him earlier on. Joe Colton is very dismissive of Lady J. He keeps calling her Brenda. And it's actually quite funny the way he's doing it. And he actually said, who let you in? And all this sort of stuff. You know? So he's coming across as a bit of a male chauvinist.
It would have been funny if he called her Jane at one point.
Yeah, G.I. Jane. This is the one bit that I felt let Lady J as a character down, because they go after like this guy who's like a member of like the presidential staff, and she's like jogging along. long, so she's wearing next to nothing to like distract him as he's like coming out of his poker game.
What's wrong with that?
Well, the thing is, up to this point, she'd been like a sort of a strong character.
Well, you've seen the trailers with her in that red dress. I mean, come on, man.
Oh, yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I just felt like that was almost a bit of, it was almost too obvious to use that. But it was a distraction to get the guy in the car, and then Roadblock injects him with this stuff saying that within 5 minutes, you will not remember any of this conversation or anything like that. Have you ever noticed anything weird about like the president? And it doesn't sort of go into it any more than that, but effectively they're questioning him. It's then like a dinner party, and Lady J infiltrates it within the red dress. Where the guys on reception are like Cobra guys and they won't let her in, and then all of a sudden she does appear on the guest list, so they let her in. And one of them's like thinking, nah, this doesn't seem right. And she goes in to see the president, and he's there saying, after Pakistan and the threat of all the nuclear strikes, I am now proposing to the world that we get rid of all nuclear weapons. That's it. We cannot live under this threat anymore and have like these mistakes happen again. So I will be holding a world summit and telling the world leaders that we must abandon nuclear arms.
So they use the plot of Superman 4?
Oh man, don't spoil that for me, you know, just because I'm doing this for you.
Who flies into the sun with a nuclear weapon? Does Snake Eyes do that, or is it...
But he sees Lady J, and because she's dressed in red and everybody else is in black, she sticks out, and he goes, oh, I insist on a dance and all this sort of stuff.
But of course, I would too.
Yeah. They're dancing, and she manages to get a strand of his hair so she can do a DNA check. And within her lipstick thing, she puts the hair, and it's an instant DNA analyzer. Which... outside, like, is Roadblock and Flint. Flint's in a getaway car, and Roadblock is in an alleyway, and they realize it's Zartan. All the while, the security guide is doing a similar check on Lady J to, like, try and identify her, and he realizes it's a Joe. So the building's on lockdown. They move into, like, ghetto, where she's dancing.
Did you just say
lockdown?
So is it a real lockdown, or is it like a Gary 4-minute lockdown? You just got to wait a few minutes, and lockdown will be lifted, and then just walk out.
Or is it a playoff?
Playoffs?
You did that too well. Lady J's escaped. Cobra guys move in and she's gone, but they've established it's Zartan. And they say to the president, we got to get you out of here. Roadblock's in the alleyway. He's going to shoot the president as he comes out. But he doesn't, because Firefly's in the alley as well. And there's a big fight between those guys, and they're beating each other around. And Firefly's taunting him, saying, I want to see that face of yours, knowing the same face of when all the other Joes died and all this sort of stuff. And he's actually got him beat. He's on the floor and he's going to like shoot him in the head when Flint just literally runs him over and hard, and then reverses back, and Firefly gets up and runs behind like a dumpster as like the truck is reversing back pretty fast. But Firefly's bike's behind there and he zooms off. They get Roadblock in there and they go back to the gymnasium, at which point Storm Shadow, Jinx and Snake Eyes turn up. And there's a lot of camaraderie, good to see you and all this sort of stuff. But Flint is very, very uneasy about Storm Shadow being part of them. And Storm Shadow says something along the lines of, I am not with you, but for once, I'm not against you. So they go to Joe Colton, and Joe Colton says, okay, well, if we're going to do this, we need to like tool ourselves up. And this is like the perfect advert for IKEA kitchens, because he's like going through and you're just like...
This is when his kitchen transforms into an armory.
Yeah. And at this point, people will either love it or they'll hate it. They'll just be like, oh, this is so shit. But I thought it was so funny because it's like, ah, yeah, because he's like lifting up the hob and he's got machine guns. And it's even to the point of he's like picking through the fruit bowl, and at the bottom are a bunch of pineapple grenades and all this. Jesus. You're thinking there's no way you'd ever live like this. But he's like popping open all these cabinets and things like that. And the Joes are effectively retooling themselves. This is when you get introduced to the Ripper tank. And Roadblock is saying, are you going to join us? And he says, the president says, I can't do this. nothing about re-enlisting. And he also then calls in some of his former colleagues.
The adventure team.
It could have really expanded into that, because it just literally was a throwaway comment like Joe's friends. And it could have been the whole, either like the adventure team or the first generation of Joes or whatever. They seemed a lot older than Bruce Willis, for what it's worth. So,
nanomites.
Yeah. They comprise a plan to like get into Cobra Commander, which effectively involves Storm Shadow infiltrating with Jinx and then the rest of the guys lining up. And Bruce Willis says to Jay, I need you for a different mission. And then it kind of... It's like... and it cuts to this global summit, which, where you got all the world's leaders, is held in some museum. And it's like the big Cobra security detail and whatnot. And effectively, this was pretty neat and quite interesting. And up to this point, hadn't been hinted before in any of the trailers or anything like that. The president's there and he's like calling for everybody to abandon their nuclear arms. And they're saying, well, we'll agree to a 50% reduction by 2016 and all this sort of stuff. And he's like saying, well, this is not good enough. We need decisive action and we need to do this now. And it's like, no, we agree with you to cut down, but we're not going to give everything up. Jonathan Pryce was just pretty cool in this role because the nuttier side of Zartan was starting to emerge. And he's like giving them an ultimatum. We're like, if you're not going to do this, then we're going to be at war because I don't see any other way of doing this. And they're just like, what are you talking about? And he just goes, right, well, if you guys won't do it, then America is officially at war with you. He's just like going around the table and he just like then hits the button and all the warheads just launch up and everyone's like, what did you just do? Because it's on the screen behind and he's like, you've got 3 minutes to decide what you're going to do. And so all the nations just start to say, you know, all right, well, that's it. And so they push all their buttons and launch all of their nukes, saying, you've doomed us all, you're insane, and all of this sort of stuff. So once all of the nukes around the world are up in the air, it's almost a little bit of a bluff by the president and says, but one of the prime ministers says, you will go down as like a monster or words to that effect. And the president says, but what if I was remembered as a man who saved things? What if I was the man who first aborted all my missiles? And he literally did that and self-destructed them all. He said, will you be the same leaders that did the same and saved this planet?
So wait a minute, all the warheads blow up in space?
Yeah.
Weak. War Games is more believable than that.
It was kind of cool, the fact that it was a bit of a bluff to where they weren't agreeing to scrap their nuclear weapons. A good way to get rid of all of that threat is
right,
like launch them all. And then they realize that, okay, this was like an elaborate bluff. And so they detonate all of their own missiles all around the world. The president says, this is good. Now that we've done that, we can move on because we've got a weapon that is as great as a nuclear bomb, but without all the fallout. This is Project Zeus, and has it all open there and is talking through. And effectively, Zeus is a titanium rod and it just launches out and that's it, because the gravity does the rest. So when it hits the ground, it's faster than a bullet, but the shockwave effect is huge. And at this point, Cobra Commander walks in and says, you're going to hand over everything to me. The world leaders are like, well, why? And he's like, well, let me show you. And effectively, it's the sequence where you see London being torn apart.
How does it feel to be a refugee?
Well, I thought to myself, where it's all like put into context, fair enough, Europe gets it again.
Oh, but come on, the Frenchies in the Eiffel Tower, they had that coming.
This is what would have made this absolutely perfect. How funny would it have been if it had been Paris?
As they were rebuilding the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, it was like the opening ceremony of the new Eiffel Tower. That would have been so, so funny. Well, we just blew up the Eiffel Tower last time. Now we're just going to blow up the whole of Paris, you know. But it's like, literally, you can see the cut in the ribbon, you know, because it's like newly reopened. And then
you got to have some Frenchman just going,
It would have been so
finding
cool,
humor in the deaths of millions of people then.
Exactly.
Nobody died, they all perished.
Yeah. But that was very good. The blowing up of London and everybody's like, oh my word, what are we going to do? And all the satellites are moving across all the other countries like capitals, and they've got 10 minutes to decide. That's it. At which point Storm Shadow breaks rank and it all starts kicking off. All the Joes are like in the sewers and lined up in and around. Roadblock is on the Ripper tank to like take out the armory, and you then see he's going up against like the Hiss tanks, which are pretty cool. And if I'm honest, realistically, because of the lack of armor on the Ripper tank, those Hiss tanks should have just like blown him out of the wall. Straight away. But it all breaks up, and Cobra Commander says to Firefly, nothing else matters right now except that suitcase. So Firefly goes after the suitcase whilst Cobra Commander makes his escape, and Storm Shadow and Zartan, like all the other forces, are fighting in. It then cuts to Lady J and Joe Colton, and they're outside the presidential retreat, and it's a sequence where the handbrake turn and shooting all the guards.
Ah, the El Camino, yes.
Yeah. And then they're storming the presidential retreat. This is where you see like Colton behind the tree and Lady J like hitting people with the butt of the rifle and things like that. And the guys inside the bunker can hear this going on outside, so then they send someone up and they're at the stairway and the guy falls down, so they're like pointing upwards, but the guy who fell down is actually Joe Colton, and then shoots the guy. So that was pretty neat the way that was done, because you just thought it was one of the Cobra guys.
Okay, so that explains him in the suit.
Yeah, because he's got the Cobra lapel on there and whatnot. So they free the president and the president's grateful. Cuts back to the fight with the world leaders. Cobra Commander's got away. Flint and Snake Eyes are shooting at the helicopter as he's like escaping. Zartan and Storm Shadow are in like, because it's by like a river, but the ground is sodden, but it's not like a dock or anything like that. And there's effectively, he confronts Zartan and pretty much kills him straight away by throwing his, because Snake Eyes gives him his sword. Storm Shadow drives that through the president, at which point when he falls down, the nanomites dissipate and it goes back to how Zartan looked in the first film.
The nanomites dissipate?
You kind of see it in the water. They kind of like floating, not floating away, but like, it looks like makeup or something. I'm guessing the nanomites, because the host is dead.
Which I thought it was supposed to repair the host.
Yeah. Good point. That didn't occur to me straight away until now.
They had the Cobra bite the Neo Viper. I mean, I guess it can't grow you back a new head if you get it lobbed off.
Right.
Now we're talking about the finer points of nanomites. God.
Who would have thought it'd ever come to that?
Neo Vipers that got killed in Rise of Cobra, even though they had nanomites in them.
Because effectively, they just threw the sword right through him. That's the sequence where you see Storm Shadow swat the bullet out of the air, because that was Zartan that shoots it at Storm Shadow, and he swats it through. And that was actually quite cool in 3D. I'll give it that. Where he swats it, he then throws it and just drives it through.
So pretty much every scene that you see with, like we've seen in various trailers, with Cobra Commander kind of walking around with Storm Shadow walking next to him, Storm Shadow's been infiltrating Cobra that whole time.
Yeah, at the point where like they realize, because he did say that we're the only ones that can get in, and he takes Jinx with him. So he's on the boat when they're like they land, and that's when they're effectively coming to the conference to interrupt the world leaders and all of that.
So Jinx is disguised as one of those red ninjas then.
That's right, yeah.
Because Twitziller, who's doing these 40 reasons for whatever on Twitter, actually sent me an email and says, you know, one of those red ninjas looks like she has boobs. I'm like, oh.
Way to go, Andrew.
Yep.
Wicked.
Good eye.
Good catch.
Meanwhile, Roadblock can see Firefly's trying to get away. So Roadblock goes after Firefly, and it's like another face-off from where they previously had it in like the alley. And it's pretty close quarters. And how they miss each other with guns at that close range is beyond me, but it's quite cool. It gets to the point where Firefly's like saying, nope, you've got no chance. And he manages to get the briefcase, and he manages to detonate all of the satellites before they have a chance to open up over all the respective capitals. Firefly thinks that he's not beat. He's got one Firefly left, and he goes to eject it, but Roadblock also got his little detonator, and he literally clicks it and just blows Firefly up there and then as he's walking away. And cue movie moment of walking away from explosion, not turning around going, "F***ing hell, what was that?" It's one of those things that always frustrate you because you just want to watch it. It's like fireworks. Ooh, but he's too cool for school. I walk in away and he blows up Firefly.
Yeah, that's crazy. They actually show that scene in quite a few of the TV spots where you just see him kind of walking away and just kind of squeezing
with
the detonator to explodes behind him. Yeah,
that's nice. Yeah. And that's another thing they cut out is Firefly saying boom, because there's all loads and loads of little bits that you've seen in the trailers that just weren't in what I saw earlier.
One thing you haven't mentioned yet, we've seen in all the trailers, is when the flags are getting draped over the White House.
Yes, and that was at the point where Cobra Commander's come in, because when they said, what is it you want? And Cobra Commander says, I want it all.
Cobra becomes, what, the military contractor for the USA?
Yeah, yeah. They realize that the president's sort of stepping aside for Cobra Commander.
All right, screw you, Chuck. You said that wasn't going to be in the movie. This shows you once again what you know. It's nothing.
You did see that, but then it didn't last very long because then you see them taking it down. And it's then a medal ceremony.
Still made the movie.
It still made the movie. Gary won, Chuck no.
That's par for the course. I mean, it's really not much of a score. The scoreboard speaks for itself. So there's a medal ceremony, huh?
Medal ceremony.
Was Chewbacca in it?
Yep, and Chewie gets a medal. And the president says, we owe the Joes everything. And Jinx is instated as a Joe. Storm Shadow has walked away. He's disappeared. Joe Colton's presenting the medals and he gives it to Lady J. And what I failed to mention earlier is that Lady J felt that she'd always been letting her father down because she was third or fourth generation military and he never wanted a girl. And Joe Colton says, I knew your father. Your father would be proud of you right now. So she's like welling up. Roblox didn't get a medal, and they did say earlier in the film that Roblox repeatedly turned down promotions because that was one of the bets that he had with Duke, that Duke would look after his kids if he won the bet. And Duke said, if I win the bet, you have to take the next promotion. It's then left open that they're reinstated, although there's fewer of them. Cobra Commander's got away. Nobody saw what happened to him. You also don't know what actually happened to Destro, where Cobra Commander effectively has lost Zartan and Firefly. He might need to go back for Destro. You don't know what's become of Storm Shadow because he just walked away from it all. Supposedly, I guess his quest is now over. It pretty much wrapped up there. There was no major cliffhanger, though, at the end that you got with the last film of seeing those guys incarcerated and saying, right, what's going to happen next? It did wrap it up there, but there's enough to say what is going to happen. There was no, again, on what we saw, there was nothing towards the end. I mean, we stayed right to the end of the credits to see if there was like
a post-credit scene.
Yeah, and the only thing that came up was this yellow Camaro and a big red truck.
All right, don't be spreading rumors now. Come on.
Roadblock steps out of the red truck. Says like transform and roll out or something.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
I can feel the coronary coming on right now.
He was riding a pink pony. He was like, yeehaw! They want a rainbow off. And...
Did they all get on a battleship and float off into the sunset?
Exactly. From a Hasbro perspective, there's still a lot of scope for toys because there was quite a few cool things that I feel would make great action figures, like Cobra Commander in his like prison outfit, Cobra Commander in his black outfit with the whole trench coat thing going on.
Yep.
Certainly some of the troopers. I mean, I know we're getting a Cobra assault trooper as seen in the film. You got just guys just in general fatigues as well. The security guards, the Cobra security guards, Joe Colton in his suit and things like that. The Cobra helicopter thing at the end with like the jets is pretty cool because that featured more than once. That's how they got away from the prison in that thing.
I miss the gunship.
Gunship was cool, yeah.
There's certainly scope there still for them to do more stuff, I feel anyway. There was an awful lot of stuff in there that we've seen in trailers and TV spots that was cut out of what I saw. Rolling off the top of my head, there's a sequence with Cobra Commander firing from the helicopter, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't in there.
Oh, my God. Really? I was actually going to ask you about that because I thought that was a pretty cool sequence.
Yeah. The way it was cut, it looked like he was shooting at roadblock.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it certainly wasn't, but I did keep stressing that it wasn't like the final thing. I thought that was cool, but that wasn't in there. The whole thing at the front with the immortal words of Jay-Z and he hits like the Ghetto Blaster. While he does reference the Jay-Z part, he doesn't actually hit the Ghetto Blaster. In the trailers with Roblox saying, this is a fist and we strike hard, all of that bit's not in there. The bit with like Lady J in the bar with all the guys, he looks like it's downtime and they're having a bit of a laugh. That wasn't in there.
DJ Katrona's abs.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I'm disappointed about that.
That's it. It's over. the drone as well across the desert, that wasn't in there. There was a lot of things that we kind of see and seen not just in one version of a trailer, but it's been reused in a couple of versions of the trailer that wasn't present in this. The 3D element wasn't a big impression on me. But then again, maybe that was because the 3D element was good. It wasn't like over the top. Because I think if it's over the top, it's distracting. Whereas it was subtle enough. It was good enough to warrant it. But perhaps a lot of things have been cut and reshuffled into the final product. Yeah, sure, there were some cheesy moments and some very convenient plot devices like, oh, we've just figured out Zartan is the president and we got this like DNA thing in a lipstick and we can receive transmissions in the Himalayas on an ore striker and all the rest of it. But I can totally forgive those compared to like what we had before. It was real good fun. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. There was a lot of action. There was a lot of surprises as well, because, like I said, Flint was probably the biggest surprise for me. He was really cool as a character and what they were getting him to do. He wasn't sort of like a background thing at all, and that was a real surprise. Jonathan Pryce's Zartan was super cool, I thought, and I hope they give him some good recognition for it. He won't get recognized for it because of the part.
He played a good bad guy in Bond.
But that's what I mean. He
played a really good wacky dude in Pirates of the Caribbean. So he's a good actor.
But because of the films of what it is, nobody will recognize him for playing that part well, if that makes sense, because it won't be like critically acclaimed as such or anything like that. Other good characters, Firefly was actually pretty cool and he was tough. Roadblock was pretty cool. Disappointing. Lady J was cool, but I felt that some of the things that they gave her wasn't necessarily playing to her strengths as a character.
And yeah, it almost looked like in the trailers they were definitely selling her as being really tough, really aggressive, but then it sounds like she was using her looks a lot to...
Yeah, and I think that let it down a little bit for me.
Mary McDonnell Lewis would not be happy with that.
Yeah, well, but she did get her dog and cat spayed and neutered.
Two music questions. Did Zartan whistle for He's a Jolly Good Fellow at all?
He did whistle at one point, and that was a little bit dodgy. I don't think it was for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, but he was walking down the steps at the retreat, and this was when you first realize he's going to see the real president. But it didn't look like he was whistling. It looked like it was overlaid. Jonathan Pryce just walking down. I mean, he didn't look like he was pursing his lips or anything like that.
Okay. How was the soundtrack?
There was no Seven Nation Army. There was no Jay-Z.
Man, I wanted some dubstep.
It was good. Nothing there for me to say, oh, they were using this track or that track. But it was pretty good. I mean, it was effective when called for to like build anticipation and excitement. But it wasn't like overtaking and let's stick this in because it hits this target demographic. And if we have this, we know that they might accept this film more.
There was one thing that I thought The Rise of Cobra actually did really well. Not the soundtrack, but the score. Alan Silvestri did a really awesome job with the score in The Rise of Cobra. I still listen to the score to this day. I probably listen to the score more often than I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
And I think he did a really great job with that.
Was there any calls back to the Rise of Cobra score that you can remember?
No. I'm probably not the best person to answer that question, because admittedly, I've seen like Rise of Cobra 3-4 times.
Man, you just don't have a passion for G.I. Joe.
I thought you were a real G.I. Joe fan.
Freaking Star Wars.
Action Force. Red Howl Lasers.
Oh, God.
Well, seeing that we just established you as a real G.I. Joe fan, would you recommend going to see it 3D or just not worth it?
If you got the choice, I would say go see it in 3D.
Considering this is supposedly, I'm using air quotes now, the reason why we got pushed back 9 months.
I wouldn't say it was worthy of the delay. I would say it was cool, but it wasn't like outstanding. And it was, I think John Chu sort of hinted at that had it been a 3D film from the start, he might have done things slightly different. So it's unfair to say that it's a 3D film because it wasn't filmed for that purpose in the first place.
I'm looking at prices right now. I'm getting ready to reserve my advance tickets. You talked me into it, Dave Tree. I'm going to go.
Like you needed convincing.
I don't know. I was on the fence. So, Dave, tell me, give us a bottom line. Is it thumbs up, thumbs down, 5 stars, or 1 star Justin special, or what?
This is the honest truth. I would give it 4 out of 5.
Nice.
Simply because it's so much better than the original. It follows on. It's not a complete reboot. Everybody that was involved, even the people that were not necessarily fans of, proved themselves and did well. The things that let it down were the elements that were of convenience, and you do sort of like cringe from time to time, but you're going to get that in pretty much any film these days, especially like action films.
Yeah.
You've got to accept it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very good. I didn't feel like it skimped out on any bit other than the final battle, because I guess because it was in daylight.
And not underwater?
Well, no, that was bad. It didn't feel like it was on a grand scale. But then again, how can you go grand scale when you've only got like 3 or 4 Joes? Honestly, I think folk will enjoy this. I feel personally very upset now after seeing this that there hasn't been more of a drive internationally to bring other products in, because I think that will definitely hamper the success internationally of the film. If there was a toy line there to support it or other assets, then I think that would have done really well.
Another quick question I have, and this is concerning the role of Bruce Willis. I know some people said that, oh, he's just going to be in there enough to lend his name and kind of cameo out, kind of like Expendables. Is he in enough of the movie to your liking?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
He's not in there like massive, massive screen time, but he's certainly in there long enough, I feel, to be worthy of the inclusion in terms of the marketing material and that he's General Joe Colton.
Good.
Another thing, what I remember is Roadblock being the ultimate ninja commando. No reference at all.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was just for the toys.
And also, interestingly, the battle kata you never saw in operation. You saw the pistols, but you never saw like the ejecting and use of knives.
So strange.
I know Daryl kind of made it sound like it was going to be used in the movie.
Yeah.
Or at least seen in one scene in the movie.
The Rock has talked about it too. Yeah, I mean, there's role play for it. There's all sorts of stuff like that.
Did you notice any Easter eggs?
I'd probably have to go back and watch.
Okay.
It was very difficult on first viewing to ever catch every single element. And some of the things I've discussed tonight, let's say like the battle carter where we were just talking about that, I might have missed it.
So that means you're going to go back and see it again?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
And buy the DVD or Blu-ray?
Yeah, no, totally.
All right.
For me, it's totally worth that. And any Joe fan sitting on the fence, for the sake of whatever the cost of a ticket is, wherever you are, for crying out loud, go see it, because I don't think you walk away and say that was a waste of my money. You'll enjoy it. It was good entertainment, and it's going to be worth like a DVD purchase then for what? End of summer?
Probably certainly in time for Christmas, for sure.
Exactly. Totally worth going to see it again.
And I'm hoping they'll show all those extra scenes that we saw in the trailer, not in the movie, and vice versa, in the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome if they would show us the 10 minutes you saw as part of the Blu-ray. And there was no Yo-Jo or no Cobra or anything.
No,
like that.
There was okay. None of that. There was a little good. Bit of a hoo-ha.
That's fine.
But there was no Yo-Jo, or at least in a Cockney English accent in a submarine.
Yo-Jo!
Yeah.
Well, here's what I want everyone to do is, if you're listening to this on the day that the movie's coming out, because that's obviously when we're releasing this, go to your favorite online movie site, whatever, buy your tickets, go tonight. If you're listening to this while in the evening, getting ready to go to bed, as you're dozing off, buy your tickets first thing in the morning, go see it tomorrow night. I am currently on Fandango. I see the premiere in my area the very first time. Actually, they will be showing it on the 27th at 7 o'clock. And that's when they're going to show 3D. And I am going to go see 3D because, damn it, if they're going to make me wait 9 months, I'm going to go see for the reason they made me wait. They'll get my $14 out of me, and that'll be a family outing. But I suggest buy your tickets, folks. This sounds like this is a much better ride than the first one. And to be honest, as Mike says over and over, the first one really wasn't that bad. This one sounds like it's a whole lot better.
Oh, yeah.
We really, really appreciate it, Dave. I can't tell you how cool this is of you to get this all in here for us. I mean, we can't even post this until, I think, the 27th is when the embargo lifts and when we can get this posted. But the fact that you wanted to come on as soon as you had the chance, just while it was fresh in your mind, and get it all down is very awesome of you. And we really appreciate it and appreciate all the support you give the show. show, and as if you don't do enough already, staying up till 3:30 in the morning your time to regurgitate all this is very much appreciated.
That's my pleasure.
Knowing what we know now, man, doesn't make me any less excited.
Oh, not at all.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming and talking to us and staying up so late.
No, you're welcome. And I think you guys, with the seeds of discontent back in May last year, or whenever it happened, like early June, part of me thinks that the 3D thing is one thing. Maybe there's a lot of re-editing and the other, but all the things that we were all sort of scratching our head over and saying, why has this happened? Is it because of Channing Tatum? I bet it's because of Channing Tatum. Oh, freaking Channing Tatum.
Bastard.
Yeah, yeah. You now look at it and you just think, what was the worry? It's all good. And they should all be proud of what they produced. They should all be happy with what they produced. I just hope that everybody can support it. I just hope that there's enough there for Hasbro to say, job well done, guys. And we're never going to touch this ever again.
We need this big time.
We do, yeah. Yeah.
People go see the movie. We need this.
It hasn't needed it before, so.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this special edition of What's on Joe Mind. Again, much thanks to Dave. We're going to say thanks and thanks again. We really, really do appreciate so late in the night to come on and tell us all about it. I know Justin has been walking around with an erection all day.
I've got to go back to bed with that.
And that is the last image I'm letting you keep. But even as I'm sitting there at work, I'm like, I bet you Dave's watching the movie right now.
Yep.
I can't wait. Even to the point, folks, that I tried Skyping him in the car on the way home. I think that's it. It's late at night. It's getting late here. We should probably let Dave get on to his regular scheduled bits so he can get up in the morning and work for the man, which is what himself? No, it's Chloe. I forgot.
Is that the truth?
But go see the movie. Go buy tickets.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you on the next regular edition of What's on Joe Mind. Good night.
See ya.
Good night.